Welcome back to Gravel Notes with David Evans. I am David Evans, and I'm saying there, welcome back. I'm assuming that a few of you might have listened to the first show. Thank you very much if you did. If you didn't, you can listen retrospectively. Go to your podcast supplier, and you'll find us there. Gravel Notes, it's all about rallying, as you might imagine. So, let's crack on with show two. Once again, I'm in a darkened room on my own. I probably should have recorded this show much earlier, but it's been a heck of a busy week. Let's get back to Rally Turkey. It might seem a bit of a distant memory now. A few days have passed since we finished in Turkey, but what a heck of a rally. Unbelievable, wasn't it? We've got to be honest, you know. Last year, Turkey totally delivered in terms of unpredictability, and nobody really knew what to expect at all. This year was just the same. It really was more of the same. But the chief benefactor this year was Sebastian Ogier, whereas he was the guy, along with Thierry Neuville, who really struggled last year. That's actually perhaps a little bit harsh, because Ogier crafted this victory himself. He did it off his own back, and he drove brilliantly. He really absolutely deserved that that victory. You could argue that Esa Pekka Lappi, his Citroen teammate, maybe he deserved it even more. I don't know. But what one of the things that really impressed me in Turkey was the way that Lappi was absolutely willing to embrace the whole team perspective, the big picture. And he knew that he was going to have to sort of step aside for Ogier, and he made no bones about it. And he was very mature, very, you know, a lot of drivers could learn from Lappi's approach in Turkey. Let's not forget that Yezibeldi stage. I'm absolutely confident I've probably said that wrong, but the first stage on Saturday morning in Turkey was, for me, one of the stages of the whole season from Sebastian Ogier. It was absolutely sublime. You know, he took a less hard tire, the medium Michelin tire, for that morning loop. He took three mediums, two hards. But to run where he was running on the road and take a softer tire than other people was unbelievable. But, you know, we forget, for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've seen Sebastian Ogier have this ability to drive the car straighter, you know, use the tire less than any of his rivals. And it's that ability that really helped him to preserve the tire through the stages and through the loop. And he pulled that gap down to Lappi. Not that he was ever really concerned about the gap to Lappi. You know, the concern was the fact that he started Saturday morning with Thierry Neuville 0.7 of a second behind him. Thierry, of course, didn't stay there for long, and he went off the road in that dusty right-hander. I've got to say, I really felt for Thierry. You know, it was such a difficult one for him. You know, the guy, just like Ogier, they had to put it all out there. They had to absolutely push as hard as they could. He was staring down the barrel of a 33-point deficit to Wout Tanak going into Turkey. What else could the guy do? You know, he had to put it out there, and he did. And he was pushing, and in those conditions with the dust and everything, it is unbelievably hard. You know, there is just no margin for error. And you could see that with the way that Thierry was pushing. Unfortunately, it went wrong for him. Ironically, he came away having had that nightmare. You know, he's narrowed the gap to Wout Tanak by 3 points. He sits 30 points behind him now. Because obviously, we're all very well aware that Tanak himself had a total nightmare as well. Last year, Turkey was very kind to him. He went there with a race car that wasn't quick enough to win. And he won. He won really quite ugly last year. This year, there was a lot of talk before the event, a lot of talk from me, that the suspension Toyota had found, this new geometry, the work on the chassis, everything was looking good. There was much more confidence around Toyota going into the season's roughest rally. Was it unfounded? You've got to say partly yes. You know, the car, the Yaris, was quicker than last year, but everybody had taken that step again. Certainly Citroën, with the geometry work and the chassis work and everything they've done. They bought some new stuff for Finland, and some of that worked as well in Turkey. They've taken a good step. Toyota, clearly, you know, they weren't quite as far ahead or as close to the other guys as I'd expected. I've got to be honest, you know, because even when Tanak had his problem with the ECU on Saturday, he was 7th, 8th, you know, they were all back at the bottom end of the leaderboard. This was never an event where they were going to challenge. for victory. And, you know, they do. One of the issues the drivers were saying, that the issue with the Yaris is that when they have to run it so high to get over all of the rocks and the rough stuff in Turkey, there's just not the precision from the chassis and the feeling from the car that they need. You could see that, you know, nobody looked terribly comfortable pushing hard in that Yaris. Not Jari Matti Latvala, not Tanak, and not Chris Meek. Yeah, a tough one for them. Very, very tough one for Tanak. I spoke to him on the Sunday, obviously, and I have to say, he was more upbeat than I thought he would be. He was more relaxed about everything. As he said in his words, you know, it wasn't like Sardinia. In Sardinia, it was a nightmare. You know, he was absolutely on the limiter when he came into service after that power stage. The power steering problem had cost him victory in Sardinia. You know, there were serious ramifications for the team in there because he was not a happy bunny. But in Turkey, you know, he said, you know, it probably cost him 4 points because really they weren't at the races at the last round. The concern is it was another issue for the Toyota, an ECU problem. I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't a spare ECU in the car. Talking to the other teams, that seems to be fairly standard that they, on these rough events, they take it in the kit with them. Ultimately, it's just spiced up the championship, hasn't it? You know, Tanak bounced back with a brilliant power stage win and a really ballsy one as well. You know, to go out into a loop of stages in somewhere like Turkey with no spare tyre. You know, all weekend guys were talking about the lottery of clipping a rock and having the rock slice the side wall of the tyre open. It could happen at any time. You know, it was for Tanak on that power stage in Turkey, it was 5 points or no points. You know, that was the gamble that he took, and it paid off. As we say, we go into Wales, 30 points Thierry Neuville is behind in third place, 17 points back to Ogier. Absolutely game on again. You know, this whole championship can change in the time of one rally, you know, in Wales. Okay, Thierry's 30 behind, but a power stage, you know, a perfect 30 score for the Belgian in Wales, and a no score for Ogier and for Tanak, and Thierry's back in front. As far as we're concerned, you know, it's really spiced up the last three rounds. An awful lot to look forward to, as always, in the World Rally Championship. Who didn't we see again in Turkey was Elvin Evans. Coming on to M Sport, I have to say, for me, one of the drives of the event as well was from Teemu Suninen, who drove superbly to finish fourth. He was in with a shot. I think he was 10 seconds behind Andreas Mikkelsen going into the final day. And he was right there, you know. He was right there. And another really strong event. After the Saturday and Sunday that he had absolutely on the money in Germany, this was great for Suninen as well in Turkey. He was very, very strong. Again, the car was really strong. And that all bodes well for Elvin coming back in Wales. It's great to see this week that Elvin's been back in the car. He's driven an R5 car on some PR days for M Sport. It looks super comfortable immediately. You know, the good thing for Elvin, we talk about this back injury that he had in Estonia. And talking to the team, you know, there's a little bit. I asked if there was any concern, you know, is that lingering doubt about getting back in the car and getting back on it again. Is there an issue there? Absolutely not. He didn't have an accident in Estonia, so there's no issue, you know. He can just get back in the car and do it all again. So I tell you what, let's take a break right now, and we will talk more about Elvin Evans and his chances and look forward a little bit to what we've got coming in Wales in part two. Welcome back to Gravel Notes with David Evans. So we were talking about Elvin Evans and the fact that he is back in the saddle, quite literally in the saddle, because he's been out on his bike this week, as well as driving an R5 up in Greystoke. And I have to say, you know, the boy is ready to get back to it now. He spent far too long, as he said, with his legs in the air doing ridiculous exercises that that will help his back muscle strain or whatever it was that that laid him up for the last three rallies. History. He's done that now. You know, he's back to business in Wales. What can we expect? Tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, everybody always talks about running order. Maybe, you know, this is one thing that we should try to explain now, the running order issue and the place on the road. Ordinarily, Turkey, good example, hot gravel rally. The last place in the world you want to be really is first on the road. There's a fine layer of gravel across the surface. You know, we've all driven around the lanes here, around our roads. you know when they lay those, you know, those bits of gravel on the road, and they put a tarmac down and then they lay the gravel on top and they put those ridiculous signs that say don't drive above 20 miles an hour. We all know that we're all on the happy stick, giving it the large one, trying to do handbrake turns everywhere. On that surface, it's a nightmare, isn't it? For a good couple of days until there's been a lot of traffic across, and then it wears. Sometimes we get a couple of lines. Sometimes it just sweeps the gravel aside. That is exactly what the guy that's running first on the road in Turkey, in Sardinia, in Mexico, in Australia, all of these hot rallies, that's what they have. And because, you know, there's so much force, if you like, in a world rally car, and the cars are sliding so much, the line does tend to get swept quite quickly. First, second, third cars always struggle a little bit. I think the thinking is, and I'm probably, it's a while since we've done this calculation, but it's a tenth of a second per mile per car coming down on a hot gravel rally. That's what you're gaining or losing. If you're at the front, you're losing it. If you're further back, you're obviously gaining the time. That's on hot gravel rallies. In Wales, complete opposite, because it's never terribly hot in Wales. Obviously, it's a gravel rally, but it's a very different nature of gravel rally, and we have a lot more mud around, a totally different surface. And what happens is you'll get, in Wales, you get this kind of layer on top of the surface, which gives some good grip, but then as each car bites into that grip, it brings the moisture to the surface, and it creates a bit of a porridge, and it can make it a lot more slippery. First on the road in Wales is perfect. And then 1, 2, 3, okay, you know, you get some lines and stuff. 4, 5, 6, 7, and further back, it can get tougher and tougher. And then as you progress further down the leaderboard, you get this effect where the roads polish. So the porridge comes, the porridge goes, and then it starts to polish the sort of bedrock underneath. And that is one of, particularly in a place like Hafren, that's one of the really, really tricky propositions. And one of the massively tricky propositions across the whole rally is that from corner to corner, it changes. You know, you can go into one corner that's had, you know, no trees on it, and it's had good wind going through, and it's dried it brilliantly. You'll have amazing grip through there. You go to the next corner, into the trees, under the trees, you're into the porridge. The next corner, there's maybe not as many trees, and it's polished. Within three corners, you can have three radically different grip levels. This is why Elvin, who will start, I think, ninth on the road in Wales, he's a little bit concerned about where he is on the road. But that said, when I talked to him earlier this week, he said, forget it. You know, I'm not even going to think about where I am on the road. In his words, he said, I had a rubbish position on the road last year and I was second after the first loop on Friday morning. This thing can get into your head. You can totally overthink this. You just need to get in the car, get on with it and drive and push as hard as you can. What Elvin has is an ability to read the road, to read the grip. He understands what it means to have weather doing a certain thing in the morning and in the afternoon, because obviously he's lived around these stages. We need to make it very clear that he has not been anywhere near the stages since this time last year. It is as soon as that route is published for Rally GB, which is 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever, you don't go near the route. Because if you do, you're excluded. It's considered illegal reconnaissance. Elvin will drive those stages twice, just the same as everybody else in the whole world championship, and he's not allowed to do any more. The other advantage Elvin obviously has is home support, and it is huge because, you know, the route virtually passes his front door. Every other person on the route, lining the route in Wales, will be cheering for Elvin, and you get a huge lift. You know, when he won the event in 2017, we saw unbelievable scenes. You know, it almost took you back to 94-95 when Colin McRae was winning for the first time the RAC rally. So it's huge. What can Elvin do? If he can get back into that car, have a good test, he tests in Greystoke, I think, for a day, and then he's testing in Wales for a day, and he has a brand new car. Don't forget, you know, M Sport is doing absolutely everything it can possibly do to put everything behind Elvin. I asked Malcolm Wilson and team principal Richard Milner, what difference does a brand new car make? And they both said nothing. You know, it doesn't. Okay, there might be a little bit less weld in there. The performance is the same, but psychologically, Elvin gets into that car knowing that his team has backed him. His team has done everything possible to build him, you know, a near £1 million brand new car to go racing in. So there's no doubt he's got everything that he needs, and 100% he's got the ability to win, and it would be his second win in 3 years. So let's see. But, you know, fundamentally, I am just delighted that we are going to see him back in the championship again, where he really should be. And he, as I say, he's coming back to a strong team as well. You know, Sunenen has done a fantastic job. And we'll also, obviously, we see Pontus Tiedemann. He's there as well. Tricky old event for Tiedemann in Turkey last time. You know, it was a long time out of the car for him. He hadn't done anything since Sweden. And, you know, Turkey's such a different event to Sweden, or to, obviously, he did Monte at the start of the year as well. So I think he'll be in much better shape when he comes back in GB, because he's had time in the car, hasn't he? So, you know, he's kind of race ready to come back. The other team we should talk about briefly, Hyundai. What were our thoughts there? Tricky one. You know, we saw again team Hyundai Motorsport director Andrea Adamo not happy with the results coming from the team. A little bit harsh, is it? I don't know. You know, there was Mikkelsen drove a good rally, finished third. Thierry, it was tricky. You know, it's impossible to you've got to blame him for what happened. It was his accident. It was really unfortunate, as we've discussed. I didn't think it was such a bad event for Hyundai. You know, they extended their lead in the championship, in the manufacturers' championship. And we saw a great, you know, another solid fifth place from Danny Sordo. Not exactly the same result that we've seen from Sordo on the last rough gravel rally, where he won, obviously, in Sardinia. But very strong result. You know, fundamentally, Sordo had to fend off Latvala and Meek in terms of the Manufacturers' Championship, and he did that. And Hyundai came away with third and fifth. Sordo, you know, again, this guy is so strong. You know, he is strong in your third, fourth, fifth, sixth places to bring you points. You know, if Hyundai go on and win the World Championship this year, so much of that credit has to go to Danny Sordo, who is the perfect foundation for any team that has aspirations to win the championship. Andrea, I think maybe you're a bit harsh on the boys. Thierry, he was doing what he had to do. Who am I to dictate to Andrea Adamo what he should and shouldn't be telling his team? And I'm sure he'll tell me exactly what I should and shouldn't be saying about him when I see him next in Wales. I look forward to it, Andrea. WRC2, slightly bizarre one, wasn't it? Gus Greensmith gave the Mark II Ford Fiesta R5 its first victory. Gus drove great, you know, really good rally. Tricky one for him coming back into an R5 car after two events in a World Rally car. Obviously not exactly the way that he wanted to end it, rolling after the penultimate stage. It was after the flying finish, he cracked on. He brought the result home, 10th place, second WRC2 pro win for him of the season. Still a chance for him to win the championship. Got to be honest here, do your own maths. It's absolutely mental. I've got no idea who can win. Robin Perra is a million points ahead, but still, Gus can win. Mads Ostberg can win. Lord alone knows what's happening with that championship. I don't get the maths. The count back, the 8 out of 10, the la-la-la. Answers on a postcard. Tricky one again for Kalle Robin Perra. Crashed, went off the road. And a slightly innocuous one, this one. Got a puncture and then was looking for somewhere to pull over and change the puncture when he was distracted and rolled the car. So, yeah, he needs to get back on the top of the podium right now. You know, we've seen this. The start of the year, it was tricky for him. He went off in Monte in Sweden, and then Corsica, was it? He had a tricky one. But then bounced back with that, you know, run of four amazing, dominant victories. So the boy's got the pace, but it's just a bit of a tricky one for him again. And then shame for Kopecky, who was right there at the races as well. Jan Kopecky, and then he had a puncture, stopped and changed. It was a bit of a running theme in Turkey. We are done with Turkey. Let's move on. What else do I have on the list? One thing I should talk to you about, actually, Wales testing. We've seen a good few cars out and about this week getting ready for Wales, but a huge amount of dust. It's been very, very warm in Wales this week. You know, across the UK, it's been really warm. Temperatures of 22, 23 degrees. So all of the testing that the boys have done so far, will it be relevant in 2 weeks' time when we come to GB? Will it be 20, 22, 23 degrees in October? It won't be. It's going to be tough because, you know, there is likely to be some rain around, and the data that they've logged from these tests, how relevant will it be? Probably not that relevant. It's another interesting facet of what is going to be a fascinating rally. The other thing I want to talk to you about is Fernando Alonso. His move into cross-country racing with Toyota Gazoo Racing and his entry on the Lichtenberg 400 in South Africa last weekend in the Hilux. We know, we've seen all of the pictures and everything. We know that he rolled early, I think on the first stage. And, you know, the whole event didn't go to plan. But what I want to say is, you know, massive admiration for this guy getting in and giving it a go. I've never met him. I haven't been to a test or anything. I've spoken to a few guys around the team. And, you know, this guy is ready to kind of shake up off-road racing, if you like. He has come in with a different approach. Massively brave, super committed. It can only be good for cross country. It's superb. You know, he's got Mark Comer in there, somebody who knows so much about Dakar. Still, there's no announcement of him doing Dakar, but you know, there's there's one reason why you go to Namibia and to South Africa and to all of these deserts to drive a car, and it's to get you ready. He rolled in South Africa. He rolled, and then after that, you know, there was a bird strike, wasn't there, on the second stage, which again smashed the screen, and then they had to drive like 100 kilometers or something with taking turns to hold the windscreen in. You know, I mean, this is massive, massive effort from somebody at the point in their career that you have to say he doesn't need to be doing this. It's fantastic news for rallying off-road racing that a guy like Fernando Alonso is coming along and giving it a go. So I, for one, will be over the moon to see him hopefully sign up for Dakar and to give it a go when they get out there next year. So thank you for listening to Gravel Notes with David Evans. That's me. I promise at some point I will make a friend, bring them along and talk to them about something. I don't know, we might actually get the mad Scotsman Colin Clark back on when he finishes his travels. He's away in Jordan for this week for the round out there this weekend. I'm off to rally day this weekend. Very, very much looking forward to seeing three generations of McRae, Jimmy, Alistair, and Alistair's boy Max is there. Obviously, Didier Auriol's there. Looking forward to the Delta S4 there. So much to look forward to at rally day. I will endeavour to get back to you next week, earlier next week. Hopefully, I will have finished my typing a bit quicker, and I'll be able to talk to you sooner next week. So please tune in. Look out for Show 3, 3rd edition, Mark 3. I don't know. Whatever. Looking forward some more to Wales Rally GB. Enough. I will stop talking now. Catch everybody soon. Thanks for listening.